We live in a perpetual revolution. The essence of our media's breathless headlines is not resistance to a particular regime or ruler, but a revolt against the very concept of civil order.
Aaron Wolf, executive editor of Chronicles Magazine, talking about his presentation at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We are now witness to the fact that civilization falls apart when its people abandon a shared belief in the permanent things, an enduring moral order established by God that exists outside of us.
You can meet and hear Aaron Wolf making the case for conservatism at our one and only 2019 Making the Case conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Find out more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385. If you would have asked a Christian through most of the centuries of Christianity, where are you going for vacation? They would look at you with a blank stare. Vacations are something of kind of a post-industrial nature. It's something we take for granted. If you can afford one, you take one, a small one or a big one. What they would have understood for centuries is pilgrimage. They would have understood going someplace, visiting a site for, well, probably more religious reasons, educational reasons than a sheer leisure or pleasure. Joining us to talk about some Christian places that you can visit, perhaps even pilgrimage to during your summer vacation, Rebecca Curtis. She's a pastor's wife and mother of seven children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary, and she's co-author of the book Ladylike Living Biblically and a recent column for The Federalist titled How to Add a Christian Pilgrimage to Your Summer Vacation. Rebecca, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
So what is a Christian pilgrimage?
Well, a pilgrimage is something that probably everybody learned about in high school literature, if not before then. In the Canterbury Tales, you've got the story of all of the travelers who are going to see Christian sites, and they all get together and talk about that and about themselves on their journey, and that's the setup for that literary work. But a pilgrimage is just going to a site that has a religious significance and seeing what it's like and learning more about where your faith actually grew up on this planet.
What makes that different from pilgrimages that other religions practice?
Of course, Islam is the religion that's most famous for pilgrimage. That's one of their five pillars, and anyone who's able is supposed to take a pilgrimage to Mecca at some point in their lives. Christians don't have that as a requirement of our faith, but it's still something that's a very ancient practice and that people enjoy doing, and it makes sense. You know, we all want to visit places that have some meaning to us, and of course, what means more to us than our faith, so it's natural to want to go to places that carry that meaning and to learn more about them and become more familiar with them.
But the Muslim goes because Allah says he has to. Christians go out of freedom.
Right, right, absolutely. It's a joy and a privilege, not a demand.
Many Christians would consider even the idea of making a pilgrimage as an anachronism. Christians used to do that, but they don't do it anymore. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I think we do kind of have a sort of old-timey association with it, maybe partly because of the Canterbury Tales. It seems kind of like a relic chasing and a lot of other things that the Reformation worked hard to do away with. There can get to be a lot of superstition involved in it, and of course Lutherans hate that too. And we also associate it historically with the Crusades, that those two ideas kind of went back together, that the Crusaders wanted to win back the Holy Land so that Christians were able to make pilgrimages. I think we're probably historically removed enough from those things that we don't need to consider them threatening anymore. The other thing is that for us, a pilgrimage doesn't necessarily have to be to the Holy Land, what's normally referred to as the Holy Land. There are Christian sites all over Europe and all over the world at this point, since people have followed the Lord's command, gone and made disciples of all nations. There are a whole lot of places on this earth where you can go to learn something about the Christian faith, and it doesn't have to be to Bethlehem or Jerusalem or one of those places in the what people are now arguing about whether we call Palestine or not.
So we're talking about traveling within the U.S. If a family wants a whole day of this kind of activity, what places would you suggest?
there are a lot of vacation destinations that are specifically designed for Christian travelers. And, of course, your physical mileage and the mileage of your personal piety will vary on this. A lot of the kind of big-ticket Christian tourist destinations have a pretty evangelical flair about them that may not strictly align with your own Christian piety. But at the same time, there's a lot to be learned, and I don't think snootiness is a good reason to forego some of these things necessarily. So if you're a family that goes to Branson, you're probably really going to like the Sight and Sound Theater at Branson. There's also Holy Land Experience. If you're a family that would go to Disney World or Universal Studios, you might really enjoy that down in Florida. And I've heard really good things about the Museum of the Bible. I haven't been there myself, but from Lutheran people, they've said there is a ton of good stuff to see there. And any of those things are a place where you're going to benefit from it, and if nothing else, gain a wider perspective on American Christianity and expand your Christian horizons a little.
You had alluded to this just a moment ago. There is currently a cloud of kind of Christian snobbery regarding places like the Creation Museum. All you have to do is mention that online. Hey, we went to the Creation Museum, and people begin to jeer at you for some reason. Why is this, and how do you respond to that?
Yeah, creationism is a particularly loaded idea, and I think that's a shame. Our own church body, of course, takes a very traditional approach to understanding the creation account in Scripture. We believe that for sin to be a real thing, it has to have a historical locus, and that is in the fall, and the fall occurs at the beginning of the world as God created it with the historical persons of Adam and Eve. And it's a shame that because of our unwillingness to be associated with people that we think are kind of beneath us intellectually or spiritually, that we are unwilling to benefit from the huge amount of work that people have done researching in a very hostile environment to find out what the scientific basis is for the scriptural explanation of where the world came from. That's one where I would really encourage people to get over themselves and learn what there is to be learned about this. If you want to be able to defend what your church teaches on the basis of Scripture, you need to be willing to learn from the people who have done the legwork. And for the most part, that's not Lutherans. There are Lutherans who do, and God bless them for that. But to become more of an informed person on this, I do recommend the Creation Institute and the Creation Museum and the Ark Experience. Those are places where there's a lot to be gained.
If the family just has a couple hours to spend, kind of not the whole day that would be required from one of those bigger venues like Museum of the Bible, Creation Museum, what would you suggest?
If you're looking for just to fill a few hours in your day, a really good option here is to tour a cathedral. In the article I wrote, it includes a link to a map that shows you where all the basilicas and cathedrals are located in the United States. And these can be really incredible. You'll see amazing artwork, and they're usually air-conditioned, so it's very comfortable. And if you're going to be anywhere near it doesn't have to be a big city at all, there's a good chance that you'll be able to find a really cool church to tour, learn more about ecclesiastical art, music, architecture, and see something that you don't get to see at home.
That raises the issue of church architecture in general. What would you say about that while vacationing in the United States?
Architecture is something that is probably not something Americans think about very much. It's not one of our favorite art forms, but churches are a place where you kind of have a good inroad. If you're a person who feels comfortable in a church, that's a really good place to learn more about architecture, and it will teach you about your own church also and why churches are traditionally built the way they're built. It kind of gives you an excuse to take in some of that information. So you can learn what you learn about an architect like Ralph Adams Cram, or there are a couple of Lloyd Wright churches that would be worth looking at. Of course, the Fort Wayne Seminary Chapel, designed by Saarinen, who is another very famous architect, is always worth a stop. And getting to know a little more about that art form by way of the church, you kind of get two for the price of one.
Talk about the importance of visiting these sites as a family.
This is one of those ways that you can show your kids that the church is important to you, outside of your weekly pilgrimage to your own congregation and those kind of routine things, to show them that the Christian world is bigger than their home congregation, and even it allows you to be a little ecumenical. You know, a good way to learn about other traditions is not to go there on Sunday morning. You need to be at your own church on Sunday morning. But if you're traveling and you have opportunities like this on the road to get out of your own tradition a little bit, that's a really good time to do it. It's very, very interesting. You can tune it to your own family's personal interests, and it demonstrates to your kids that this is important to us, and it's worth a stop during our fun time here for you to get to know these things.
Finally, in what sense, you had just mentioned this, is Sunday morning in your local congregation a weekly pilgrimage?
We should always go back to the places of our faith. It doesn't occur in your heart or in some esoteric imagination-based experience. God is real. He gives real gifts, physical gifts. That's how the forgiveness of sins is delivered to us in His Word and Sacrament. And you need to be there to receive it. We need to be where God has promised to be. So every week we are pilgrims in the Lord's house, reminding us that we are sojourners here on earth and that there is a real destination toward which we're headed that is also a real place in time and space that we can't understand all the way yet. But that sojourning is not going to last forever. Someday we'll be citizens of a place that is eternal.
Rebecca Curtis is a pastor's wife and mother of seven children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary. She's co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically, and a recent column for The Federalist titled How to Add a Christian Pilgrimage to Your Summer Vacation. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Rebecca, thanks.
You bet. Thank you.
When we come back, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we'll talk about the new Apostolic Reformation and answer the question, does God need permission from us to act on earth? Pastor Chris Roseborough will be our guest. Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her Reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Be strong and courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.